May God bless each one here this morning. I also want to greet you all in the name of Jesus that want to come and to call sinners to repentance. And I do extend a special welcome to all the visitors that are here with us. I was thinking about whenever we had the hurricane that came through Helene over a year ago, we never thought they would bring some visitors from far places. And but we're glad that y'all can be here, that y'all chose to come and brave some new people. I know sometimes it can be scary to go some places where you don't know anybody, but I'm glad y'all came and worship with us here. We hope that you feel at home and that we can all look to the Lord and His Word and see what He has for us. I feel like my sermon this morning has already been preached either through the songs, through the devotions, through the Sunday school hour, and that's how it is, right? Whenever I was preparing the message, I didn't even look at the Sunday school lesson, and then after I was done getting the sermon ready, then I look at the Sunday school lesson, and I'm like, wow, this is great. This is going to be a little bit of repeat, but that's okay. I don't know how you feel this morning, where you are, and I know we have a lot of visitors here, and I don't know your journey and where you are and how is God working in your life, the things that you're facing, but I'm assuming that in other far places of the country, the life is pretty normal, I would think. And we can think of difficulties. We can think of church stresses. We can think of blessings that we have. And we can think of all kinds of things. And I know Papa Sim preached a sermon 2 weeks ago about the promises of God. And some of the things are similar to what I want to share. But I was just thinking, as we face different things or difficulties and stresses, to me it's easy for those of you that don't know, but not this past week, but the week before, I was preaching a week of revivals at Pensacola. And I always, you know, I enjoy being with other people, and it's always a highlight because everybody gives you the best behavior and the best meals and the best of everything. And I always remember that is a highlight, right? And I can be somewhat of an emotional person that whenever I get an emotional high, always get an emotional down. So I decided, you know what, maybe I should just preach a sermon to myself and let everybody hear it. So that's kind of what I have this morning. And the title for the message is simply A Handful of Reminders. A handful of reminders. I thought about giving 5 reminders, but I ended up with only 3 of them. Only 3 of them, reminders, and they're basically going to be 3 devotions I'm going to have, really. But 3 points or a handful of reminders. Whenever we face difficulties in life and reverses, we tend to lose our focus and lose heart, lose momentum, lose courage. Hopefully this morning you can be encouraged and blessed. We always think about, you know, the need that we have to worship collectively is one of the reasons is because we always need to recharge our batteries, don't we? And this can be a time of recharging our batteries. So the first reminder I have is Jesus is with you. Well, that's the obvious, right? That is the obvious. I turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I told you we're going to have 4 devotions. So this is the first one. Mark chapter 4. I'm not sure what I said. I'm getting a little dense over here. Mark chapter 4. Here we have the story. Whenever the disciples found themselves in a terrible storm. Chapter 4, verse 31. Sorry, verse 35, Mark chapter 4, 35. Again, I don't know where you are in your life, but if you are in a storm, this will be a good devotion for you, a good reminder. Let's put it that way. I put it a handful of reminder. Verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and that it was now full. I guess it's full of water is what he means here. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow, that's a tremendous story, isn't it? And I don't know how you'll find yourself again. It's easy for us to see the waves. It's easy for us to see the storm. It's easy for us to see the lightning, the trees falling on your houses. I know we're thinking about Helene because our group of volunteers are here with us. We think of our fragile boat. I don't know what the disciples were. You know, they were experienced people that were used to these kind of things, but maybe this was an extraordinary storm. And they were trying to do all they could to keep this thing afloat. And they knew that if one of these waves is going to capsize their boat and they have to go swimming. But here, Jesus is with them. And somehow or another, they forgot, or I don't know what happened. They were so fearful. They didn't have faith. We don't know if they had their faith in the wrong thing or what. In other places, it said, where is your faith? Maybe in a different place. But it is easy for us whenever we face difficult times in life. It's easy for me to forget that Jesus is with me. That's my point. And I just, again, just a simple reminder that whenever we face difficult things, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to go through storms. You know, it would be nice if we have Jesus along and said, peace be still, and everything went calm. That would be marvelous. That would be wonderful. But think about this promise of God in Isaiah 43:2, and I hope by extension we can apply this promise to us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So that's a promise that we have of God being his presence with us whenever we go through the waters, whenever we go through the storm, through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. It's easy for us to see whenever we are to hear with the water that we are about to get overflow. But let's remember, a simple reminder that Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. And sometimes we probably feel like the disciples. They knew that Jesus was with them, but what good did he do if he was sleeping, right? Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is asleep on your boat, okay, but sometimes it feels that way, right? That Jesus is asleep on my boat, and we need to cry unto him. We need to cry unto him. So that could be part of this. Jesus is with us, but yet you still need to cry to him. Not because he's asleep, but because he wants us to hear and recognize our unworthiness, our desperation, our end of ourselves, right? We have tried everything we can in some of our storms, and we just need to cry out to God in desperation and say, Lord, please help us. So just remember that Jesus is with you. Isn't that amazing? Whenever we are so scared of things of life and we realize that the creator of the universe is with us. I mean, the perspective changes dramatically, doesn't it? If the disciples would have just understood that the man that they had with him was the creator of the sea, and he could do this, they even marveled. He says they were fear exceedingly. And they said, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, of course they will obey him. He was the one that created these things. What a tremendous blessing to think that Jesus is with us. So just remember that. The next reminder I have, whenever we feel difficulties in life, we are in a storm of life, I want us to remember to dine with Jesus. To dine with Jesus. Now, I want you to go with me to John chapter 21. Go with me to the second devotions. Remember? John 21. I would like to read 12 verses here. Whenever Jesus invited his disciples to come and dine. Now, I can't reference all the connections that we already made this morning to the message, but this one I remember Brother Darrell read about that he was eating with the sinners and the publicans. He was feasting with them and at least eating with them. And we would like to think a little bit here in this passage of John chapter 21, verse 1 through 12. Here is right after Jesus resurrects. He resurrected from the dead. He appeared to some of the disciples. He even appeared to Thomas. Remember, Thomas said, if I don't see him, I don't put my finger in there in the hole. I will not believe it. But he already appeared to them. And I don't know exactly. I'm going to be a little hard on the disciples. The Bible doesn't say their purpose or why Peter went fishing. But here it says in verse 21, I'm going to start reading, 1 through 12. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So they were fishing all night. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know it was John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring off the fish that ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst against ask him, who art thou, knowing that he was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. I think I'm going to just stop reading right there. I think I was going to read to verse 12, but the verse 13 is a good verse too. Again, I don't want to be hard on the disciples. I don't know exactly if maybe they were low on cash. You know, Judas had held the bag and he's gone now. And maybe they needed a little extra income. And they said, Peter says, I'm going fishing. That could be a possibility. Again, the Bible doesn't say why did they went fishing. Maybe Peter was still trying to process the whole thing, the whole program. You know, they were still thinking that it was Jesus that was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And they were going to be the great ones. Even John and James, they wanted to be one on the right and one on the left. And now things are not turning out like they thought it was going to turn out. I don't know what the deal was, but I am putting myself in their shoes whenever we face difficult circumstances, difficulties in life, even storms of life. Our tendency is to forget to go and dine with Christ. We always come up with, as human beings, we always come up with all kind of maybe mechanisms, if I can call it that way, or an ugly tendency when discouraging things happen or disappointments come. We tend to take our own fishing trip. That's my point. Now, I'm not saying the fishing is wrong. Don't get that idea. But it could be other things, and including fishing could be one of them. You know, whenever we feel discouraged, well, might as well let's go fishing. Whenever we are in stress, we need some kind of comfort. We need a lift. We need something in life to cope with. And some of us could go to the refrigerator and start eating, right? We don't even know why we're eating because we just ate supper. But the stress levels are high, so I just want a piece of cheese and some crackers and some pretzels, and I just start eating again. Not because I was hungry, but because something, it just feels good to munch on something because life is getting hard. And you can laugh at that, but that's a reality for me, okay? Or some could go and just go find some music. Put your earbuds on and just crank it as loud as you possibly can handle. And that will really drown a lot of your problems for that moment. And it's a way the people use. It's a way the people cope with life. And they just crank up the music loud and louder and louder. It could be all kinds of things, really. It could be even videos. Videos have a way to entertaining our mind away from reality. And you get into a video and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is exciting. And it steals my mind from the present. And that can be one of our fishing trips. It could be, I don't know if you ever heard this term. I never knew it till very recently. But they coined the doom scrolling. You know, that's a new word now. After COVID, they said they coined this word. And that is simply whenever we go through either your computer or your phone, if you have internet access, you just scroll through there looking for news. It started with the news during COVID, you know, because of all the sensational news and even fake news and whatever. And the definition is the act of spending an excessive amount of time watching short-term content, negative, it could be negative, distressing, or alarming news on social media or news site. People often find themselves unable to stop searching for more information to ease their anxiety, but in turn increases it. And this is from the secular world, okay? That's what they named it, doom scrolling, because you go and spend a lot of time. And some of us could do that with shopping too, right? We can go, we can't sleep at night, I'll go on Amazon and start buying stuff that I might need at the job site. That's a good fishing trip for me. And it works for a little bit. But my point here this morning is, things are not working out. You are in a storm. And you know what Jesus is inviting you? He says, come and dine. Come and dine. I've got some, can you imagine that? I mean, I'm sure the fisherman Peter and his friends there, they probably had a snack box, maybe. I'm guessing that they had something to eat along the night. But I doubt it they made a little fire on that little boat. I doubt it. And here they come to shore, and they see Jesus with a little bit of fire there and some fish on it. Fish roasted at the fire. That probably is a good treat. And some bread. He says even he gave him some bread. He taketh bread and gave it them, and fish likewise. My point here is simply this, that Jesus wants us to come and dine with him. Do not neglect communion with Christ. That's the simple truth that I'm trying to convey through this passage. Do not neglect your communion with Christ. For me, it's very easy to focus on the problems, take my own fishing trip. I'm going to go and get busy. Work can even do that for you. You're in distress, I might as well get up and work on planes and forget about my problems. I work, my work, 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 work. That can be one thing. But please, in all, some of those things are necessity. Of course, work is one of them. We have to work. And the children enjoy going fishing, so maybe it's just a good thing to go fishing. But in all that, don't forget to come and dine with Jesus. Jesus said these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will" what? "Sup with him." The word "sup" means eat supper with him. That would be in the Spanish Bible. It was a cenar contigo. It will eat supper with you. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus wants to eat with us. Now, we use this word "eat" in a spiritual way, right? Because it would be marvelous to have the fellowship meal if we could have Jesus here with us. Now, he is here with us in spirit, right? But wouldn't it be nice to sit with him and let us ask some tough questions like he did for Peter? If you continue to read the passage, you will notice Jesus had a plan in mind, but he wanted to make sure that his disciples felt comfortable with him and felt the closeness of him. He will sup with him and he with me. Brothers and sisters, there is something, and I know you know this. How do we sup with Jesus? How do we eat with him? Well, it's through Bible reading. It's through, he left us his word, and we pray to him. I don't know how many of you have done this practice before, but I encourage you, once in a while, you could do this. This is a simple practice. One of the principals of Bible school taught the students one year that you read a verse. You know, we believe this is God's word for us, right? Now, I know there's a lot of history here, and some of these things is just for historical purposes, indicating how God worked with people. I get that. But if you do this, if you read a verse and then close your eyes and breathe a prayer back to God about that verse, you should try it one day. You should try it one day. And like, for example, verse 12, "Come and dine." And you can close your eyes and say, "Lord, I know you're inviting me to come and dine with you. I'm ready to dine with you." And then keep reading. And you do that practice of talking back and forth to the Lord. You will be amazed how much blessing you find in that. And it doesn't have to be that technical. You can be at your work and you can still sup with the Lord in your spirit. You can go on a walk and talk to the Lord. You can go on a drive and sup with the Lord while you're driving. Psalm 23, verse 5, you remember the Psalm 23, is "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes a beautiful application. It says that the host of those old times, they used to send a signal to their guest. They kept the guest cup full to signal that they were welcome, and left it run empty to signal that it was probably time to go. No wonder a lot of times they let my cup of water go empty, right? But when the host really was enjoying the company of the person, he said he will fill the cup to the brim and maybe let it run over a little bit. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But if you think about it, this is exactly what the Lord is trying to do with you and I. The Lord wants you to enjoy his presence. And your cup is full and running over because Jesus wants to commune with you. Jesus wants to commune with you. God wants you to stay at his table. You can see the table a little bit wet already from the cup running over. So I hope that our desire is like the psalmist there in Psalm 42. He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Just a reminder, come and dine with Jesus. Let the things of the world, those things are, can be deceiving because they work for a short period of time, but they increase our anxiety. They increase our problems. Don't forget that the true satisfaction, the true purpose, the true acceptance, the true belonging is at the feet of Jesus. And we can go through different passages and read them. But I have to go to my third point here of a handful of reminders. And the third one is there is work to be done. Now, this is the part that would correspond with our study of Ruth as a faithful servant. But I would like to take you to a different passage. I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we have a fascinating story that I have identified with Elijah many times. And maybe some of you remember a couple years ago I preached a sermon about discouragement. And I use this passage whenever I feel discouraged. Here in 1 Kings chapter 19, because the Bible says in James that Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are. Isn't that what it says? I'm like, that's correct. That's right. Elijah, that could be me right here. Right here in 1 Kings chapter 19. He had a tremendous high or tremendous spiritual high, if I can call it that. I don't know if that's a good term to use. But it was a tremendous blessing for him to show the children of Israel who the true God was. And he prayed to God, and God threw fire from heaven and devoured the sacrifice. It devoured the water. You ever seen water burn? Talk to Elijah. Elijah knew, he saw this. He saw these barrels of water that were around. He had dug a ditch around the altar, and even the water, it says, the fire consumed that water. But then, guess what? Verse chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, and saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey unto the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he laid and slept under the juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And I'm just going to make a pause here. As a man like passions as we are, as James says, isn't it amazing whenever difficult things come into our lives, it's easy for us to give up, right? Sit under the juniper tree. We're tired, lack of sleep, a lot of running, a lot of places he went. He took a lot of effort. He even cut some throats there of those people, those prophets. That was a lot of work. And there is Elijah, done. Say, Lord, take my life away. Take my life away. And this is the point that I would like to give here. You know, it's amazing, but God still had work for him. He had some work for him to do. And he said, you can keep on reading the story there and how God appeared to him. Jesus is with you. He come and dine. He even gave him some, I don't know, the angels prepare some food there. Now, I think it was more than angels' food cake, or what they call the angels' cake. I forget what they call the fluffy cake they make from angels' food, I'd say, I guess. This is more than that. This is substantial stuff. But even the angel gave him something to eat. So you can see both of my other points, that God was showing to Elijah that his presence was with him. You can read it. He said there was a wind and an earthquake. And then it came a small, still voice, and that was God with him. Now watch what God has for him in verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, Go and return. Well, I should read verse 14. And said, I have been jealous. He was asking, I know I'm breaking, but I should just read verse 13. I'm sorry. 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there come a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, throwing down thine altars and slain thy prophets with thy sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my face to take it away. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead or in thy room. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. The simple point I'm trying to make here is that the Lord had work for Elijah to do. He said, I still got work for you to do. Go get this done. And guess what? Now we go to our point. Doesn't God has something for you and I to do? He does. He does. We love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He said, For thy grace are you saved. By grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. And we love those verses, and they're wellfully loved because they're precious. But then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has works, good works for you to do. Okay? That's not what is going to save you, but this is your purpose. God saved you with the purpose that you would do good works. To do good works. He ordained good works for you to be done. To be done. And Stephen read those verses this morning in John chapter 4. He says, the fields are white, ready for harvest. Who will go? Who will be the reapers? Turn with me. This is the last passage we're turning this morning in Matthew chapter 25. I know it was referred in Sunday school already. We talked about this being servants of the Lord. And I just want to pound the nail one more time on the head here. That God has a purpose for you and I. In the midst of tribulations, in the midst of stresses, of difficulties, we will tend to be like Elijah. And we will be under the juniper tree desiring to die and give up. And it says, there's no point, there's no point, there's no point, there's no point. But here, Jesus is saying again, hey, Elijah, I got some work for you to do yet. Here it is. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And I'll just cease reading there. And you can apply it wherever you need it. You probably know people that might not have enough to eat. Maybe you know some people that don't have much clothes. Maybe you know some people that need a patch on the roof. And thank God for the camp volunteers that are here with us that are doing just this thing right here. People that need help, they are volunteering their time to do these things. And those needs are all around us. They're all around us. God has work for you and I to do. He wants us, you heard the saying, he wants you and I to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? If somebody doesn't give him something to eat, who will? If somebody doesn't cover them, who will cover them? I know the government has some programs. I understand that. But it is a call for Christianity to do this work. To do the work of Jesus. So don't give up in your distress and your depression time like Elijah was. Just remember, maybe it is better to get off from under the juniper tree and go do the work God wants you to do. I will close with a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. God bless you. As you go from here with this handful of reminders that Jesus is with you, that Jesus wants to dine with you, and Jesus has work for you to do. God bless you.